Wanda Blackwood, Wednesday, November 16th, 2011.
Tonight I'd like for us to consider for a few minutes what God hears, the things that he hears. We serve such an awesome God. He hears every word that we say. And his hearing is so keen that King David said that God hears our thoughts before we think them. Now that's keen hearing. Even though sometimes we kind of wish he didn't hear quite so well some of the things that we think or say, still, isn't it a tremendous blessing to know that we serve a God who loves us enough to tenderly listen to every thing that we think or say, and he cares about everything that concerns you and me? What a blessing that is. You know, it's one thing to know that he can hear our very thoughts, but to realize that he cares what we're thinking, and he cares what our needs are. That's amazing to me. Turn with me to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, David is speaking here about the false gods that many people were worshiping back then, and many people still worship today. I'd like to read part of this 115th Psalm out of the Living Bible for a little more clarity. Let's begin with verse 4 of Psalm 115. Their gods are merely man-made things of silver and gold. They can't talk or see, despite the eyes and mouths they were given. Nor can they hear, nor smell, nor use their eyes or feet, nor speak. And those who make and worship them are just as foolish as their idols are useless. O Israel, trust the Lord. He is your helper. He is your shield. You know, the idols that men make and worship, we know they can't speak or think. They're just pieces of wood, or maybe clay, or even silver or gold, but they're still useless as far as knowing what we need. They're inanimate objects. There's no life or power at all to them. How sad to see people bow down to them, to kiss a piece of wood that they themselves may have carved out, and to trust it to give them healing or guidance. And that's all they have to trust in. How sad that is. But the true God, the God of all heaven and earth, the God that we worship, hears us. Not only that, he speaks to us too. Sometimes very plainly and so strongly that we may jump and look around to see if anyone else heard that. And of course they didn't when he speaks to us in that manner. But you know, usually it's in such a still small voice that he speaks that we might miss it if we're not listening closely to it, to him. But he's watching and guiding and helping us. And most of all, his ear is always attuned to us, his children. Now, how important does that make you feel? Isaiah 65:24 says, "Before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear." This is how quickly God hears the cry of his people. Nothing escapes the ears of our Lord. We may sometimes feel that he doesn't hear our prayer if we don't get our answer right away, but you can be sure that when he's slow to answer when we call him in our trials, it's because his purpose in sending the trial or allowing the trial hasn't yet been worked out. You know, nothing happens to us that doesn't have to pass his approval first. And if he approves our having the trial, it's for a purpose that is for our good. And so, just as soon as the work has been done in us, or in whoever else he might be working through us. As soon as that work is completed, he will deliver us. He's never a minute late. I guess I harp on that a lot, but I have to remind myself of that a lot. He's never a minute late. He's got a perfect time clock. And I know this verse that I just read up here, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. In that verse, God is speaking of his dealings with Israel in the kingdom age. But if he'll be that quick to hear them at that time, how much more quickly will he hear the cries of his children today who are calling out to him in need? He who hears our thoughts before we even think them, certainly he'll be there to answer our prayers. He heard Abraham when he asked for a blessing for Ishmael. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 17. Genesis 17, let's begin with verse 15. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." See, to us, Ishmael is almost anathema. But to Abraham, he was his only son. And he was concerned that the Lord would bless him. And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." So God did not ignore Abraham's prayer and request for a blessing for Ishmael. He answered it and made Ishmael a great nation. But you know, he hears not only our prayers to him, but when people are in trouble, even if they don't think to pray, God hears their crying. The Lord heard Hagar and Ishmael after Ishmael grew to be a young man. And remember, they were sent away from Abraham and Sarah because Hagar and Ishmael were making such a miserable life for Isaac. And Sarah said, "I'll not put up with that. Send them away." So in Genesis 21, let's read how God answered, well, how he helped them. He didn't answer their prayer because apparently they weren't praying. Genesis 21:14. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.'" She had just given up that this would not, that they would die in the wilderness. "And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept." And it didn't say God heard her voice. It says God heard the voice of the lad. Evidently he was weeping at the same time. "And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, 'What ails thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness." So God answered their need. even though they weren't crying out to him, they were just giving up in despair. But he saw them there, and he knew what their need was, and he answered. He helped them. His tender heart reached out to them. And even though they had got themselves into this trouble for their in the first place by their hatefulness to Isaac, yet God had a tender heart toward them. You know, when people are mistreated, God hears their sorrow too. When you are mistreated, God sees and knows all about it. Don't ever think that it goes unnoticed by the Lord. We won't turn to Genesis 29 tonight, but there we could read about Jacob and his two wives. God saw that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, and he saw the mistreatment that Jacob gave toward Leah. And so what did God do? He gave Leah an abundance of sons. God sees how others treat us. He hears when his people are mistreated, and he takes the side of his people. God takes it personally when anyone mistreats his children. If someone, I know you all believe that, but if someone should not believe it when you tell them that, you could turn to Acts 9 and prove it. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. This is the story of Saul, who was persecuting the early believers. And this shows us just how much God identifies with his people. Acts 9, verse 3 says, "As he, Saul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads." Saul hadn't done anything personally to Jesus, but God considered the mistreating of his people just like it was being done to him personally. He says, "You are persecuting me." And in Matthew 25, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done this to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me." So he takes it very personally. Let us keep that in mind when we're tempted to mistreat or speak unkindly about one of God's children. Whether they deserve it or not is not the issue. He takes it personally when we talk about or when we mistreat them in other ways, worse ways. Then another thing he hears is our cry when we're burdened. When Israel were slaves in Egypt, he heard their cry. Back in Exodus 3, we can see what he heard and what he said to Moses. In Exodus 3, the Lord spoke to Moses, and the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." See, he didn't just deliver them to fend for themselves then. He had a beautiful place prepared for them if they would only take it, if they would only accept it. But we know the story. But anyway, he saw their oppression and he heard their cries. And his great heart was moved, and he responded to their need. Well, he hears our cry when we're burdened. He hears us when we're fearful. Turn with me to Psalm 56. David was fearful at this time, and he said, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I'd like to read verses 8 and 9 out of the Living Bible. David said, "You have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You have collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You have recorded every one in your book. The very day I call for help, the tide of battle turns. My enemies flee. This one thing I know, God is for me. God is for me. What an encouraging, comforting thought that is, and how true it is. When his people are in trouble, God hears. He notices our tears. He even preserves them in a bottle. He records every tear, how very much he loves us. Now, of course, we know this is a metaphor, a figure of speech, but the Holy Spirit has used these words to explain to us in terms that we could understand the depth of God's loving care when he sees our pain and sorrow. He sees every tear that we shed. Another scripture that encourages me to see how much God cares for us is just a few pages back in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, beginning with verse 6. David was rejoicing here in God's deliverance from David's enemies when he wrote this psalm. And in verse 6 he says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth." Someone was mistreating his son, and he was going to take care of that. "There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them." What a storm that must have been. "Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were uncovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." See how God moved heaven and earth for David? Of course, this again is full of metaphor, but the Holy Spirit moved David to write these words, showing us how God takes the side of his people, even more than a parent could. You know, if our children are being in harm's way in any way, there's not a parent here that wouldn't move heaven and earth if they could to save their child and protect them. But we can't. We can't always do that. We don't always have the ability, but God does, and he will see to it. Have you ever been in a place of trouble yourself when you didn't know where to turn? You can be sure that God saw you right there in your distress. He knew every detail of your need, and he heard your cry. Peter tells us in Acts 10:34 that God's not a respecter of persons. What did he do for David? He listened and he responded. He came to his aid mightily, didn't he? He'll do this for you and me when we're in need too. One thing we can be sure of, God may not answer as quickly as we would like sometimes, like I mentioned before, but he never ignores our cry for help. He loves us too much for that, and he's never late. His deliverance may seem slow to us, but he's always right on time. Turn forward just a few pages to Psalm 34. This is a precious psalm. It's so full, but we don't have time, I don't suppose, to read the whole psalm. But I would like to read, beginning with the first verse, out of the Living Bible again. It says, "I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. For I cried to him, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Others, too, were radiant at what he did for them. Theirs was no downcast look of rejection. This poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. For the angel of the Lord guards and rescues all who reverence him. Oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercies shower down on all those who trust in him. Now, the occasion when David wrote this psalm was not one of his stellar moments. He was fleeing from Saul, and he went to Gath and wanted to stay there, but the people of Gath were afraid of him. They didn't trust him, and he was afraid they might kill him, and so he pretended to be insane before Achish, the king of Gath. You remember the story, and the king in disgust said, "Get that guy out of here. I don't have to have a madman in my palace. He's no threat to us." Well, that's just what he wanted them to think. But what a humiliating thing for God's chosen king to do. Did he think that God couldn't protect him from Achish? But when he called on the Lord, God still heard him and still delivered him, even though he showed such distrust in the Lord at that time. It isn't only when we're faultless that God hears us. Aren't you glad of that? If it were, he wouldn't hear us very often, would he? But although he bears us in our needy times, that's not all he hears. Not just when we're needy, or just when we're fearful, or just when we're in trouble. God heard Israel's complaining so many times in the wilderness after he had so miraculously delivered them from the Egyptian bondage. Numbers 11, beginning with the first verse, tells us some of the things that God heard from the Israelites. Numbers 11, verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now, this word complained literally should read, became complainers. They didn't complain just once. They were constantly complaining. They were complainers. No matter what he seemed to do for them, they were still complainers. And it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. What were they complaining about this time? Their food. God was providing manna for them in abundance. They had more than enough manna. And it was the very nourishing food, the most nourishing food they could get. The Lord saw to that. But here in verse 5, what are they saying? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. This is what they were complaining about when God was providing their every need. Everything here that's mentioned but fish grew out of the ground, and it represents fleshly desires. They were letting their fleshly desires cause them to complain to the Lord. But you know, I have to ask myself, how about me? How many times have I complained about how things are going in my life? We need to remember that our God hears. He's in control of our lives. He can and will come in for our every need if we only ask him. And so many times, he comes in for our needs that we didn't even realize we had without our having to ask. But he isn't pleased with our complaining, no matter what the situation is. Why does it bother him so much that we complain? because it's a reflection on his ability to provide for us. When we complain about our circumstances, it's just like saying God isn't doing his job. It's a reflection on his ability. So we need to talk to him, thank him for all he's given us, and then ask him for our daily bread. He instructs us to do that. And Paul says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." According to what? His riches in glory? Are there any needs that any of us have that would be greater than that? He will supply our every need, but we need to trust him and we need to be grateful when he does supply our needs, because complaining is one thing he doesn't want to hear. Over in the next chapter, Numbers 12, he heard Miriam and Aaron complaining, and I won't read the whole story there because you remember it. But verse 2 says, they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us too?" And the Lord heard it. They were complaining because they felt they weren't getting the honor they deserved. "Hasn't God spoken through us too?" they said. And God was so angry with Miriam. Evidently, she was the ringleader in this, and Aaron went along with her. But he was so angry with her for her prideful attitude and for presuming to criticize Moses, who was the meekest man on earth, the Bible says. God said to her, "Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And what did he do? He struck her with leprosy, didn't he? Because she had complained against Moses. You know, when we speak against one of God's children, we had better be very sure of what we're saying. Make sure that is absolutely true what we're saying, because the Lord hears us, and he doesn't take accusations against his children lightly. If there's something that a child of God has done or is doing that needs to be addressed, needs to be corrected, that's another thing. But when we just flippantly because we are upset with them over something, talk against God's children, he takes that personally. And because this is the age of grace, he'll not often judge our wrong attitudes the way he did in the Old Testament. But neither will he let us get by with it. There will come a day. Proverbs 15:4 in the Living Bible says, "Gentle words cause life and health, but griping brings discouragement." Doesn't it, though? It discourages the complainer and everyone around him or her. And it grieves the heart of God to hear his people complain, on whom he has showered so many blessings. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and God hears every word." What I want to do is to pray earnestly what David prayed in Psalm 139. I guess we have time to turn there, although you probably know it by heart. Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And then just over, probably on the next page, Psalm 141:3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." That's my prayer, and I wish I could remember to pray it continually, because it would have kept me out of a lot of trouble at different times. But it is important that we seek the Lord to search us and try our hearts and to show us the wicked ways that he finds there. But you know, the most precious scripture that I have found regarding God hearing us, and I bet you know what it is, Malachi, the last book in the Bible, Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. God hears when we talk to each other about him. It pleases his heart so much that the Bible says he puts what we say in a book to remember again and again. Think of that. God actually records our conversations when we're talking to each other about him, about his faithfulness, his majesty, and his great love. This says he puts our conversations in a book. Well, of course, this is another metaphor. He doesn't need to read a book like we do to remember. His memory is perfect. He never forgets anything except our sins. But he puts it into words we can understand. He wants us to know that our conversations about him delight him. He never forgets them. Wow. Doesn't that make you want to spend more time talking about how wonderful he is to one another? Now, Isaiah 59:1 tells us that God's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He heard Abraham's petition for Ishmael's blessing, and he granted his wish, even though he knew it would bring sorrow in the long run. He heard Hagar's cry of despair, and he led her and Ishmael to safety. He heard Leah's cry when she was mistreated, and he gave her children. He heard Israel's groaning under the oppression of the Egyptians, and he went to great lengths to deliver them. He heard Israel's grumbling, and he didn't ignore it. Even though he did cause the fire to come to punish them, to correct them, he still answered them. And he didn't provide leeks and onions and garlic, but he did provide their food as they had need for it. He heard Aaron's and Miriam's complaints against Moses, and he corrected them sharply. He heard David's cry of fear many times, and he delivered him each and every time. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which you know not." I wonder if you have a particular need tonight. You need a burden lifted or a need met? Well, remember, he is hearing your thoughts right now, and he's eager to meet whatever your need is. One thing he will not do is ignore your prayer. You can be sure of that. How amazing that is. What a privileged people we are, that the God of the universe cares about us enough that he listens to us when we pray. He listens when we grumble and complain. He listens when we talk to each other and what our conversations consist of. Nothing we do or that is done to us goes unnoticed by the one who loves us with an everlasting love. But the thing he hears and remembers and cherishes in his heart most are the comments that we make to each other about his faithfulness and his love for us. I think we ought to talk more often to each other about him. And if there's nobody around to talk to the Lord directly in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, thanking him for his love and blessings to us, because he truly is worthy of our praise.